believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show, 2A Radio. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. Do a little bit of housekeeping right now. First of all, if you'd like to participate today, the call-in number is 800-313-9443. Wanted to let everybody know that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, that's the same group that really screwed up and showed how ineffective they were during the Hurricane Katrina event of a couple years back. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has been doing their very best to put their hands on old closed military bases. And what they're doing with those, what's going on, well, a film has been made. It is called Camp FEMA. And it is directed by a fellow by the name of William Lewis. And it features the likes of RBN's own John Stadtmiller, as well as Alex Jones, who appears in it. And you can actually get yourself a copy of this by going to republicbroadcasting.org and going to the online store. From there, you can get a copy of the new video, Camp FEMA, again, directed by William Lewis, and it features John Stadtmiller of RBN as well as Alex Jones, several other people. You can actually go online and take a look at that and read it. As well, if you would like to spread the good word of Republic Broadcasting, you can do so by getting some business cards. They are generic in nature, as in they don't have a name or a title, but they feature Republic Broadcasting. You could then take these things and hand them out to people within your circle of life, within your area of influence, people you know, people you meet on the street, people you have likewise sorts of conversations with, and hand them a card. Give them an opportunity to tune in and listen to all the great programming right here on RBN. Now, for 100 business cards, and including shipping as well, you also get a free bumper sticker. It's $8. It's straight up $8. For $8, you get the 100 cards, they get shipped to you, and you get an RBN bumper sticker with it. I've seen the cards. They're very good-looking cards, very high-quality cards. You can get those by calling the RBN office number. And now, Republic Broadcasting is in Round Rock, Texas, just a little bit north of Austin. That phone number is 800-724-2719. Again, that's 800-724-2719. And you can call that number Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. If you'd like to just mail in to order those, here's the address. You can send it to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Boulevard, three separate words, number 302. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, Round Rock, Texas, two words. Well, Round Rock is two words. Texas comes next. 78664. And again, you just send in $8, let them know your name and address to send those cards off to. You get the bumper sticker. Everything's included. There's more show coming for you after the break, so stay tuned. It's definitely going to be some good information you're going to want to hear all about the Second Amendment and your rights coming up after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. You know, there's a very good friend of mine by the name of John Pearson. John and I have known each other for many years, and we've worked together for many years. When it comes to defensive firearms training, John is one of the people who's amongst the best. He really specializes in some just incredible principles, very, very basic principles, and then how to tie high-end firearms training around just those very simple principles to keep everything very simple and to keep you alive. He's really very good. We've known each other and worked together for many years. Well, John, like I, probably owns far less guns now than what he used to. As a matter of fact, I know he does. He used to own all kinds of guns. I used to own all kinds of guns. But then, when you get into the industry, you start learning more and more. You start selling off all the junk, all the stuff that you just bought because it was cool. It was on some magazine cover. It was the new in thing for the moment. And each of us started buying much better equipment. Well, one of the things that John bought about 2 years ago was a Nighthawk Custom Talon, which Nighthawk is an unbelievable gun. I mean, absolutely fantastic. My buddy Justin Campbell that was in here a little over a year ago, he passed the Handgun Combat Master, became Combat Master number 43. Passed the test with the identical gun, a Nighthawk Talon. Very same gun. As a matter of fact, the gun that Justin has and the gun that John has are near mirror images with the exception of the color of the actual grip panels that are on there. This gun is black. It's got gray synthetic grip panels on it. Heine Straight 8 Slant Pros. And absolutely beautiful gun. Now, John has elected to go with all polymer guns and just get away from the 1911s and the steel guns. He's specifically going just strictly with Glock. That's it. He's just going straight with Glock. So he's decided he's got a couple of different 1911s that are just sitting around collecting dust that are fantastic guns. So he asked me to mention this. He's got this Nighthawk Talon. And he has precisely 191 rounds through the gun. It's a 45 ACP, has 191 rounds through the gun. Why? Because he initially bought the gun. He bought the gun and his carry ammo, 200 rounds of it, fired all the way through to where he ended up with, he had two loaded magazines, so that's 17 rounds, shy of that, 183 rounds, pardon me, my mistake, 183 rounds through the gun, so I look at my notes, because he ended up with two full magazines left over plus one in the chamber. He could carry 9 rounds in the gun plus another magazine of 8 loaded. And he hasn't fired the gun since he got it 2 years ago. He got it, fired the thing, put it away. He's carried it, but hasn't shot it since. So anyhow, this gun is in immaculate shape. It comes with a Heine Straight 8 Slant Pros, which is the tritium dot-on-dot smooth surface so that you can't actually catch the gun on anything. It's been dehorned. Really, let me tell you a little bit about Nighthawk and where it started. You had some of the very, very finest gunsmiths that were employees of Bill Wilson over at Wilson Combat. And for whatever reason, they decided that they were no longer happy working for Bill Wilson, and they started Nighthawk Customs and have given Wilson and every other custom 1911 gun manufacturer a true run for their money. These guns are fantastic. If I had this particular gun that John has, the Talon, is a $3,500 gun, and you're not going to find many places that actually stock Nighthawks. The only actual stocking dealer I'm aware of that's within a couple hundred miles is one that's actually in Los Angeles, if you can believe it, just outside of L.A. There's a Nighthawk dealer that actually stocks a bunch of guns, huge gun store, lots of money. They've got tens of thousands of dollars wrapped, probably about $40,000, $50,000 wrapped up in Nighthawks in their display case, which is interesting that Nighthawk would even go through the process of California with their whole give us guns and let us do the drop test garbage. Anyhow, suffice it to say that this Talon that John has, he is interested in offloading for $2,000. He bought it for $3,500, put 183 rounds through it, and put it away, essentially. I mean, hasn't fired it since. He's been carrying Glocks and XDs since then. For about the past year. There's a custom Briley that he's got. We'll talk about at another point in time. But right now, if anybody has any interest in a very, very high-end 1911, as a matter of fact, Dave Champion has one of these very same guns. And until he had his custom Malone LeVay put together, he was carrying this very same gun. It is a fantastic gun. If I had the $2,000 to pick this gun up, I would snap it up in an absolute heartbeat. But $2,000 for yours truly right now is just kind of a tall order with the economy the way that it is. So anybody that's interested, shoot me an email, bill@2aradio.com, and I can get you in touch with John, and you guys can get this thing hammered out. It is a beautiful gun. I have fired this same gun because when he was out testing it, I went up there and snuck up and fired a couple magazines through it. And, of course, John told me that was much like grabbing a hold of his woman and, you know, having my way with her as opposed to having my way with his brand new Nighthawk. So it was kind of a running joke. But then the flip side of things is this. I, too, have decided to sell one of my guns. I have an African safari gun. You could also use this thing for hunting up in the northern states if you're going to go for moose or very large bear, be it brown bear, grizzly, or even if you're going to go to Kodiak Island, go for Kodiak bear. This is a 416 Remington Magnum, and it is built on a Remington 700 action. It's a Remington factory piece. 416 Remington Magnum is the big five round of choice for Jim Carmichael, former shooting editor for Outdoor Life magazine, and wrote The Book of the Rifle, the one that I talk about often on the show. Absolutely immense respect for everything that Jim Carmichael knows, does, and has, which is why I ended up with the 416 Rem Mag. Now, it also has the Swarovski scope on there that is the 1.5 by 4, which is the exact, I'm sorry, 1.5 by 4. That doesn't make any sense. It's a 1.5 power. It is a 1.5 power by, I think it's a 30 mil objective lens. That is the quintessential African safari scope. Now, the gun and the scope together worth about $2,500. Plus, I have literally about 250 or 300 rounds of ammunition for this gun, which sell for $5 to $7 per round. So I have literally thousands of dollars worth of ammo with this gun as well. All factory spec hand-loaded stuff. I hand-loaded these things round by round. There's 80 rounds of actual factory ammo, and the rest are loaded to absolute factory spec with large rifle magnum primers, ultra-clean cases, several different types of rounds. So anything that you would ever hunt with this gun, be it buffalo, bear, any of the big five in Africa, you can. And I'm looking to offload the entire package, the gun, the scope, and the, I don't know, I think it's probably 300 or more rounds worth of this gun, another $2,000 worth of ammo for $2,000. The whole thing, the entire enchilada. I'll even throw in a nice case that comes with it. A decent case that you can actually go travel on airlines with it. So, again, that is a 416 Remington Magnum. It is a Remington 700 action. It has Swarovski scope. Yeah, this, it's not a Zeiss. It's a Swarovski. A big game scope on it. And it's actually up near the front sight. It's actually got very slight factory ported slits in the top of the barrel out front. So it helps manage the recoil of this bad boy, which isn't too bad. It's actually got a perfect length of pull. It's got a 21-inch barrel, 22-inch barrel on it. It's not too long. It's got a two-point. It's got a two-point Ching Sling 2 attached to it. It is a beautiful gun, and it has a beautiful sling on it with a beautiful scope and all of this ammo, $2,000. So you can send me an email, bill@2aradio.com, And now that we are coming up on the end of this segment, I can stop trying to hawk all of mine and John's wares. And we're going to get into... yesterday we talked about a case in front of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals dealing with Obama's eligibility. They made a ruling, and we're going to talk about it in the next segment, and then we're going to move on with a bunch of things dealing with the SB 1070 law in Arizona. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check, which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, so yesterday we were talking about a case in front of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals about Obama's birth certificate, and this is the one case that was filed before Obama took the oath of office. Now, a decision by a three-judge panel of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals may have opened the door to questions on the record about Obama's birth documentation eligibility to be president, according to an attorney in the case. The judge's opinion recently dismissed as frivolous an appeal of a lower court decision throwing out questions about whether the British Nationality Act of 1948 made Obama, at his birth, to an American mother and Kenyan father, a subject of the British Crown, thus possibly making him ineligible under the Constitution's requirement that a president be a natural-born citizen. Now, the case was filed against Obama, Congress, and others just before Obama was sworn into office, arguing that Obama was a British subject and not a U.S. citizen. The case alleges Congress failed to follow the Constitution, which provides... quote, provides that Congress must fully qualify the candidate elected by the Electoral College electors. Now, the lower court dismissed the action, claiming the plaintiff's lack of standing to make a claim about an alleged violation of the Constitution, meaning they weren't personally injured by the act. Well, the Third Circuit agreed. It is axiomatic that standing to sue is a prerequisite in Article 3 jurisdiction, the opinion said. This constitutional mandate requires that appellate show inter alia on injury in fact. Great. Apuzzo noted that the court refused to find the merits of the case frivolous, but did not find, but did find the appeal to be frivolous. You get that? They didn't find the case that way, but the appeal to be that way. The court found that the plaintiffs did not establish that they suffered an injury in fact. They said that the injury that plaintiffs allege is not concrete or particularized enough to satisfy Article 3 standings. They found that these injuries are too generalized for Article 3 courts. They added that the plaintiffs' injuries are not concrete and particularized because they are harms that are suffered by many or all of the American people, he said. Great. So since everybody is suffering from this, only not one person individually can sue, does the entire United States citizenry or the majority thereof need to sue? But the court also announced it would order counsel for appellate to show cause why just damages and costs should not be imposed. Now, neither the federal district court nor Obama, Congress et al. Argued that our case was frivolous. Nevertheless, the appeals court on its own gave me notice that it wants me to show cause why I should not have to pay for the defendant's damages and costs incurred in defending the action, Apuzzo confirmed. I am now preparing my response to the court to show cause order, which I will be filing, therefore, before the deadline of July 16th, 2010, as to what other actions my clients may take regarding the underlying claims against Obama in Congress. We will be discussing that aspect and acting accordingly. That's according to the attorney Apuzzo. He told WND he definitely will explore the issue of standing now because the possible penalties, which might be considered an injury. Now, he confirmed such circumstances could change the balance of the argument. He says, I'm going to address that in the papers to be filed. Apuzzo has explained that the case maintains that while the term natural-born citizen is not defined in the Constitution, quote, under the laws of nations, Obama is not eligible to be president and commander-in-chief of the military because, being born with conflicting allegiance to Great Britain, which he inherited from his non-United States citizen's father, and possibly to the United States if he was born in Hawaii, as he claims but has not shown, he cannot meet the founders' and framers' constitutional definition of an Article II natural-born citizen, which requires the president and commander-in-chief of the military to have unity of citizenship and allegiance from birth only to the United States, which status is acquired at birth only if the child is born in the United States or its equivalent to a citizen mother and father. Now, that's been my entire argument. You know, I don't really care where Obama was born. He could have been born in the middle of the country in Wichita, Kansas. Hell, he could have been born in the Rotunda building in Washington, D.C., right in downtown Washington, D.C., right in the middle of the Rotunda. It really doesn't matter where he was born. The thing is that he had separate citizenship allegiances through his mother and father. Now, his father, Kenya at the time, was British ruled until 1963. He was born in 1961. So he gained citizenship through the Citizenship Act of 1948 in England, in Great Britain. So he has that citizenship. His mother was actually too young to provide citizenship to her son, even if she was old enough. It still split allegiances. So there is absolutely no question that Obama is not qualified under natural born citizen. His mother was too young to offer him, her infant son, her citizenship as an American. But the father was able to offer his citizenship through the 1948 case, the 1948 law in England. So there's no way that he's constitutionally eligible, period. And that's my contention. I don't care where he's born. Anyhow, stay tuned. We got more stuff coming at you after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back. Now, there's no secret that there is a lot of gun, drug, and gang violence in northern Mexico. There's also no secret that a lot of that violence and really all this Mexican crime through corruption and drugs and everything else is spilling into the southern states. So that is an absolute reason why everybody within about 300 or 400 miles of the Mexican border needs to be armed and trained. You need to really exercise these Second Amendment rights. get armed, and get trained. You can't just buy a car and never learn how to drive it. You can't just buy a gun and never learn how to shoot it. You need to get trained, preferably by an absolute professional, not just by somebody else that, oh, I shoot so I can teach. That's the blind leading the blind in most cases. Don't do that. All right. So a drug gang enforcer, right, an enforcer, we're talking about corruption here, admits ordering a U.S. consulate worker's murder, according to Mexico. A top drug gang enforcer says he ordered the killing of a U.S. consulate worker because she helped provide visas to a rival gang in the border city of Ciudad Juarez, federal police said last Friday. Now, Jesus Ernesto Chavez, whose arrest was announced last Friday, leads a band of hitmen for a street gang tied to the Juarez cartel, according to Ramon Pequino, the head of anti-narcotics for the federal police, the federales. Pequino said Chavez ordered the March 13th attack that killed U.S. consulate employee Leslie Enriquez and her husband as they drove through the violent city towards a border crossing to the U.S. Pequino, says Chavez, to the U.S. Anyhow, that's what Chavez told police, that Enrique was targeted because she helped provide visas to a rival gang. Now, the suggestion that drug gangs may have infiltrated the U.S. diplomatic mission runs counter to previous statements by the U.S. embassy officials that Enriquez was never in a position to provide visas and worked in a section that provides basic services to U.S. citizens in Mexico. All right, now we have a bunch of confusion. And U.S. officials who looked into the possibility of corruption involving Enriquez shortly after her killing found no evidence that she was involved in illegal activity at the consulate, according to federal officials in Washington, in U.S., who are familiar with the investigation. The official who spoke on the condition of anonymity because he's a puss, whatever, blah, 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 just a wuss. Let's see. He said that the motive behind the attacks remains unclear to U.S. officials. The why has not yet been answered in the killing of Enriquez, her husband, and the husband of a co-worker, the official said. The attack on Enriquez within view of the Texas border and nearly simultaneous attack that killed the husband of a Mexican employee of the consulate raised concerns that Americans and U.S. government personnel were being caught up in drug-related violence. Now, Enriquez was 4 months pregnant when she and her husband, Arthur H. Rodolphus, however, were killed by gunmen who opened fire on their vehicle after the couple left a children's birthday party. Their seven-month-old daughter was found wailing in the back seat. That doesn't work out. Hold on. She was 4 months pregnant and had a seven-month-old daughter. You mean to tell me she got pregnant after her daughter was 3 months old? Wow, that's going to be hard on somebody. That's got to be difficult. My aunt, actually, I have two cousins that are 10 months apart. She gave birth, a month later, got pregnant again. She was mad. She was pissed at my uncle. Anyhow, really, the entire episode that we're talking about here, what we're talking about is all sorts of violence in Mexico against U.S. officials because of corruption in Mexico where these people are finding out what's going on inside the consulate. Corruption. Corruption. And this sort of thing is spilling across the border. Now, Governor Brewer of Arizona says that it's disturbing that feds spend more money on Mexico than on the border being guarded. Can you believe that they spend more on border security? She wants the federal government to spend more on border security, at least more than it does on Mexico itself. Now, Brewer is slamming Washington for committing more than double the amount of funds next year to Mexico than it does to National Guard along the U.S. side of the southern border. They're giving more money to Mexico, Brewer said, after meeting with administration officials last Monday, calling the disparity very, very disturbing. There's a bit more nuance behind the claim, according to her office. Brewer was referring to the administration's fiscal 2011 budget projections, committing $135 million to a National Guard increase along the southern border versus $310 million to Mexico via the Merida Initiative. Merida Initiative. A program started under the Bush administration that helps Mexico and other Latin American countries fight drug gangs and other organized crime. Now, you're giving $310 million to a nation which operates purely on corruption. I mean, the entire country operates on corruption. It's just the society. It's not necessarily that I'm sitting here trying to slam Mexico. It's just the way that things are. You know? It's just the way things are. They're corrupt. It's the society. It's the environment they live in. It's the environment they've created. It's the environment they exist. If there were no corruption in Mexico, they probably wouldn't know how to get things done. And you're giving them $310 million. Now, those figures don't factor in the $600 million Obama is calling for in additional Border Patrol, ICE agents, and other border personnel. Far more money than Mexico receives through the Merida Initiative. But that, like everything else that comes out of Obama's mouth, is just a whole bunch of facade. Now, Brewer spokesman Paul Sensman said, the point the governor was trying to make is that the administration plans for on-the-ground border enforcement just aren't tough enough. While Obama's calling for 1,200 National Guard troops along the southern border, Brewer has endorsed a plan calling for 6,000. On top of that, the 1,200 that are going are going to be in support roles, and they won't actually be on the ground. Total waste of time, total waste of money. It's not going to do any good. Now, I have to tell you, I'm in Pahrump, just outside of Las Vegas. And Las Vegas is where Obama spent the night last night. He flew in yesterday. Now, this tells you how forthright this guy is. This person we're calling the 44th president is. He flies in on a Thursday at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. is what? Rush hour traffic. The peak of rush hour traffic. Lands, gets into the motorcade, and they do this motorcade down to the Central Strip in Las Vegas. Central Strip, right there at what's called City Center. Why is it called City Center? It's a brand new development. Huge, multi-billion dollar planned out area with condos and shopping and hotels and blotted out right in the middle of the Las Vegas Strip. So, of course, all the traffic is screwed at the most difficult part of the day. Couldn't have come in earlier, couldn't have come in later. Stands up there and says, last year the economy was dropping by 6%. Now it's growing because of the policies endorsed by Harry Reid. Yay! Give him money. Yay! $800,000 in Reid's pocket. Now today, he's going to be at UNLV blabbing his fat gums about something there, who knows what, something environment related, whatever. And it's probably going to be, we want more taxes and we're not going to give any of this to private enterprise. It's going to be government function because that's the way Obama works. He doesn't encourage private enterprise to do anything. He encourages the government taking more money from you and I in every form we possibly can and having the government solve our problems. Really. The government solve a problem? You've got to be kidding me. They create every problem there is. There isn't a problem. Government gets involved and it creates it a problem. Talk about making a mountain out of a molehill. You actually make Mount Everest out of something flatter than flat. Kansas. You can't put Mount Everest on top of a Kansas plain, which exists at sea level to begin with. When the government gets involved, they make all kinds of problems out of things that were for not problems. You know, he flies out later today, which, thank God, I had to shower extra long today because I just felt the scuzz oozing 50 miles out of town towards me. I had to bathe. And I gotta tell you, the mayor of Las Vegas, Oscar Goodman, who has called himself two different things. He's called himself an independent. He's called himself a Democrat. He's actually speaking non-politically at the at the Republican convention in Henderson today, talking about city matters in Las Vegas and things. And at the same time refused to meet with Obama on this trip. Because Obama said things like, you know, we don't want government employees blah-da-da-da-da and going to Vegas. So he slammed Vegas two or three times in different speeches. And of course, the mayor of Las Vegas isn't like that and has since refused to meet with him on this trip. Thank you, Oscar, for that. Oscar Goodman, famous for being an attorney for reputed mob figures, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I actually know his sons. I went to school with all of them. Just decent guys. Actually, his son, Oscar Jr., is a brilliant guy. He's an MD with a PhD working on finding a cure for cancer. And if anybody can do it in the medical field as opposed to the nutritional field, Oscar Jr. probably can do that. Anyhow, let's see. On top of all this other garbage dealing with the Mexico and the violence there, the Justice Department filed a suit against Arizona's immigration law, SB 1070. They're accusing Arizona of trying to second-guess the federal government, according to the Justice Department, who filed a suit last Tuesday against the state's immigration policy, claiming the invalid law interferes with federal immigration responsibilities and must be struck down. Accusing Arizona of trying to second-guess the federal government, the Justice Department, the suit names the state of Arizona as well as Governor Jan Brewer as defendants. In it, the Justice Department claims the federal government has preeminent authority on immigration enforcement and that the Arizona law disrupts that balance. It urges the U.S. District Court in Arizona to preliminarily and permanently prohibit the state from enforcing the law, which is scheduled to go into effect at the end of the month. Arizonans are understandably frustrated with illegal immigration, and the federal government has a responsibility to comprehensively address those concerns, according to AG Eric Holder Scumbag in a written statement. But diverting federal resources away from dangerous aliens, such as terrorism suspects and aliens with criminal records, will impact the entire country's safety. Okay, so what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. It's just excuses. Oh yeah, to address those concerns. By addressing those concerns, that means you stand up there with your filthy, putrid mouth and talk and talk and talk until people are so bored they want to hang themselves because you've talked and talked and talked and said absolutely nothing on behalf of Obama, Holder, Janet Napolitano, mouthpiece, nobody, scumbags, blah, 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 blah. And all we get are a bunch of illegals with drugs and guns coming north on the border, spreading violence in this country, as if they don't have enough violence in their own country. Guys, it's spilling over. And the federal government has done nothing to stop this. You got Border Patrol agents 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 miles north of the border. You can't plug a hole that far. You can't do it. Remember the old story about the boy putting his finger to stop the leak coming through the dike? He put his finger in the hole to stop the leak. Had he not done that, that leak would have eroded and eroded and eroded, and the dike would have broken. Flood everywhere. Now, he can't stand 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 miles up, you know, downstream from where the hole in the dike is. Collect up the water and then try to get the bucket back, dump it back into the reservoir, and then go back and get the water and expect nothing to come back through. You've got to stop. It doesn't work that way. You've got to get up to the dike and stop the leak there. You've got to get up to the border and stop the infiltration there at the border. And those in Washington at the federal level know this, and they're doing nothing about it. Nothing about it. They are parties to this crime. In D.C., everybody who is against Arizona's SB 1070 and wants everything to be handled by the federal government are parties to the crimes that are being committed by the illegals that are sneaking into this country through our southern border with Mexico. They are all parties to the crime. They should be arrested and tried as such. Stay tuned. More to come after the break.
American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back. I want to give everybody a bit of an update on America's Victory Shoot. That's my event that I've put together over months. And what that is to celebrate the decision in the McDonald v. Chicago case out of the Supreme Court. Now, of course, there's a long road to go. There's a lot of lawsuits to have been done to challenge laws all over the country at this point. But it is the right setting in order to do that. And really, it is a big step for re-securing our Second Amendment rights. It doesn't do it in one big sweeping decision to really outlaw all these other laws, but it sets up to where we can now use the courts and use the decision out of the Supreme Court to do this. So, it is a two-day handgun event with all kinds of other awesome stuff going on just outside of Chicago at Aurora Sportsman's Club in Waterman, Illinois, which is, it's about 60 miles west of downtown Chicago, so easy commuting distance. By the way, it is about an hour from now that the Second Amendment rally in downtown Chicago is happening. So if you're in Chicago, in the Chicago area, get down there and support your Second Amendment rights. It's at the rally in downtown Chicago starting in about an hour. It's 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock Central Time. So, wait a minute, is that right? 8, not 10. Yeah, it's almost 10 o'clock there. Yeah. So in about an hour is when it starts. It's a two-hour event. It's annual. Go there. This is the biggie. So, with America's Victory Shoot, go to victoryshoot.org and check out the information and sign up. There's 500 slots, and they're filling up pretty quick. It's $295 for this class. You can also go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the link right there if you already go to the RBN homepage. Sign up. Because sign-ups are going pretty quickly. It is August 21st and 22nd of 2010. For $295, you get 2 days worth of really high-end defensive handgun training. Because the McDonald case was about handguns, it was about self-defense, so we decided, what the heck, we're going to make it a self-defense handgun, self-defense and protection, so you can protect your family, 2 days worth of training. We're catering in lunch both days. There's going to be a bunch of different guest speakers that are going to be there. It's going to be a big, fun, almost like a pro-gun party atmosphere. There's going to be some vendors there. There's going to be different sponsors there. It's going to be really, really cool. Very fun. We've got the whole thing arranged. It's something that's going to just kick total ass is what it's going to do. So we're really looking forward to having everybody who's part of RBN show up, be part of this deal. Go to victoryshoot.org. Look at the information. get on the updates list, sign up as soon as you can. We're using GPAL, formerly known as GunPAL, to get people signed up. Or go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the link on the RBN homepage and go there to sign up. Check that out over the weekend. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for more great RBN programming coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday. I will not.